Hi, hey, welcome to The Door to the Supernatural. I'm glad that you joined us. Of course, I'm Pastor Peter Dosick, and with me today is Rob Kennedy. I was going to say Rob Thompson, but Rob Kennedy. And we're glad that you joined us. We're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, how to operate in the supernatural, not only finding out what they are, but really how to activate them and how to move in them. And it is a part of your nature. It's what we do as Christians, is what Jesus did. And he is the firstborn of many brethren. So we understand that his DNA is in us. The Bible says that we're born of incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. That seed is the seed of Christ, which was the seed of God. And he dwells in us, and his nature is of a supernatural nature. And miracles haven't been done away with. Every day is a miracle day, and God is a miracle God. Now, before we get started, I want to show you a couple of miracles. The first one's going to be from Charleston, Maine, and then there is another deaf girl, totally deaf from birth. She is in Charleston, Maine, and so we're going to look at these two miracles. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Now, in the name of Jesus, I command right now this deaf ear, in Jesus' name, you deaf devil, right now, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. God, I loose a creative miracle onto these nerves right now. I come, be opened in the...
Oh. I can hear.
You can hear. Okay. How long have you been deaf?
4 years.
About 4 years.
In the middle of the night, and nerve just took the hearing away.
Well, you go. Now you just be totally here.
Thank you, Jesus.
I hope you have Jesus. All righty. Can you have to take those out? Number one, she's too pretty to be.
That's right.
Yeah, amen. Now, is there any type of birth defect or anything like that? Or just no eardrums or?
No, she was born this way.
She was just born, okay. In the name of Jesus, you deaf devil right now, I command you in Jesus' name, come out in the name of Jesus. Be opened in Jesus' name. Be opened in the name of Jesus. What? Can you get her to say if I say something?
Tell me what he says.
Jesus.
Tell me.
Jesus.
Jesus. Yes!
All right. Now, come on. You know that's not a trick. Come on. God is doing something good here. All right. All right, open this up here. Take that one out. Now, in the name of Jesus, you deaf devil right now, I command you in Jesus' name, come out right now in the name of Jesus. Be opened in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, come on, somebody.
His name, the power of God is still setting people free.
Amen.
That young girl was born deaf, and there she couldn't speak, and then God gives her hearing back. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And praise God. So God is doing those things, and what you see on these little miracle clips that we show you, just to kind of get you started and say, boy, I want that to happen in my life. Those little miracle clips are just simply signs and, you know, truths that are being declared that you can do the same thing, because God's not a respected person, and the power of God is resident for in every believer, and it's available to you and I today. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, we started yesterday talking about coveting or desiring spiritual gifts. Now, when Paul says desire or to covet spiritual gifts, this is not an invitation maybe to do.
Yeah.
This is when Jesus says, love one another. He doesn't say, I command you. He later says, this is the new commandment. But he doesn't say, I command you to love each other. He says, the new commandment I give you, love one another. When Jesus says something, every word is to be incorporated as a word from God. So when Jesus says, you know what, covet earnestly the gifts of the Spirit or desire the gifts of the Spirit, that is not an option. It is really a command that we are to be passionate and hungry and thirsty and actively seeking the gifts of the Spirit. Rob, let's read 1 Corinthians 12, 31.
But earnestly covet the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way.
Yes. And how about 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1?
Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy.
Now, here it tells us that we are to pursue them.
Yeah.
We are to go after them.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how much clearer that it would be if your mom and dad said, I want you to go and pursue or go find the cat. You wouldn't have to wait till they commanded you or say, well, I'm going to pick a special child. You would know that if they said it, that they were talking to anyone that heard it.
Yeah.
And if there were five kids there, they better all scoot themselves right on out the door. And if there was one of them, they better get to scooting out the door. So we understand that when Jesus says this, Mark, the 13th chapter, the last verse says, what I say to one disciple, I say to all.
To all. Yeah,
and so here we have a command to covet. You know, you and I must never, ever be complacent enough that we live aside from the Spirit of God or the power of God in our lives.
Absolutely.
And the Word of God has its place, but the power of God has its place.
Yes.
And we can't do away with them. We need all of them. So we're talking about how to covet the gifts. And the first thing we talked about yesterday was that we are to pray. Simply pray for the gifts. That's found in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13, that if a man speaks in an unknown tongue, let him pray that he interpret. So that is the gift of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the gift of interpretation.
Yeah.
And if it's a gift of interpretation, then when the tongue is brought, and then we pray that we may interpret, we are praying or petitioning God out of desire for God to let a gift be activated in us.
Yeah.
Now, there is no classification of the gifts which is weaker or better.
No.
The one that is needed is the one that's important.
That's important.
And so we understand that when Paul says, pray that you would interpret, that he is praying for a gift to be activated. The second thing we talked about was the use of our confession. Once that we discover that these truths, these gifts are ours, then we need to embrace them, agree with them, become one with them by the confession of our lips. And then the third thing we talked about yesterday was the act of fasting, the pre-designed act of faith that incorporates or that is released through an abstaining from food. And if you want up to 3 days, water, no longer than 3 days, and after that, you can have a go without food or water. Jesus went up to 40 days, and if you got enough meat on you, I guess you can do that. But for all the people that can't, I always say this, when hunger returns to you, it's an indication that God is invoking you to eat. Well, so we talked about those three, and today I'm going to talk about maybe one that you might think, oh, man, that just cannot be true. You can't just, well, I'm just telling you that it has been a mainstay in my life since I discovered that. And so let's go to Matthew, the 16th chapter, and we're going to look at verse, we'll look at verse maybe 18. Maybe we'll go up a little further than that. Let's just... Let's go to verse 18, Matthew 6, 18. And it says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and that upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose in earth shall be loosed in the heavens." Now, this tells us that keys open doors, they close doors. They bind things, they loose things. So when we talk about when he gives us the keys, then he's giving us the key to open things, release things, to activate things, or to bind them, to close them up, to shut down heaven, to open up heaven, to unveil God upon the earth, or to close the areas that man would see him in the earth. But this is a great key, and it's also found in Matthew 18, 18. And it says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven."
Amen.
I discovered many years ago that I could bind and loose things.
Yeah.
Things that God had given me, I could bind them, keep them from active in my life, or I could loose them and experience them in my life.
Yeah.
It's kind of like God wants to bless me. God wants me to have an abundance. God wants me to be involved in every good work. And so when God gives me seed, when I act on that law either binds or looses. And so when I'm sowing, according to the scripture, Rob, that is a key.
Yeah.
It is a law. And what it does is loose the increase or the harvest from heaven.
Yes,
and then it binds need.
Mm.
Because if I have an abundance, need is swallowed up.
Yes.
Now, and so we have to keep operating in these laws, certainly. But that is just one principle or one way that we see that the laws. So when he gives us these laws, these are the laws of the spirit of life.
Yeah.
And they bind or overcome the laws of sin and death or free us from them.
Yeah.
Romans 8, 1 and 2 and 3. So, but here it says he gives us keys, and these keys bind heaven and loose heaven.
Yes.
They affect the earth or they don't affect the earth.
Yeah.
But it's up to the person that holds the key.
Absolutely.
See, if we say, well, I can never do anything. I can't do this. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, words are things that God watches over. And God says, I'll give you what you said. And so he did that to Israel. And so when we say we can't, even though God said you can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens you, when we say we can't, we are binding the strength of God that is available to us. But if we embrace and start saying, look, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now we are loosening that strengthening into our life.
My dad used to always say, whenever I say I can't, he hated that. He'd say, I can't, never done nothing, right? So, and I look at this verse and what you're saying, pastors, it's so powerful because the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
Yes.
And yet, and it's on the revelation that Jesus, you know, is the Christ. And he gives us keys. And I think too often a church takes a defensive, you know, they become defensive against the enemy and not offensive.
Right.
And taking the keys is really an offensive maneuver.
Yes.
It's going after and you know.
In using them when we get them.
Absolutely.
Before we are imprisoned.
Yeah.
Might be a good idea.
Absolutely.
And because you might just, you know, live for years with the keys around your waist and think, boy, no, I wish I could get out of here, when in fact that God has already given you a key.
And not advancing the kingdom, but, you know, just kind of keeping the devil at bay.
Trying to keep him at bay.
instead of
tearing
down.
Are to be aggressive. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us.
Yes, absolutely.
And there are fortresses around the things that we've talked about. There are fortresses and adversaries that protect different dimensions of wealth from the kingdom of Satan.
Yeah.
So that the people of God cannot have them, so that he can use them to do what he needs to do or wants to do.
Yeah,
and, you know, there's very little need for perversion, for evil, or for wickedness in this world.
Yeah.
It seems like there's always an abundance for them, but the church is the one that struggles.
Yes. Yeah.
And the reason they struggle is because they just don't take the law and the word that God has given us, and we loose God's hand.
Yeah.
He's upholding all things, everything, by the word, that is, the power that is in his word.
Yes.
But if we never act on that word, Rob, that power that is supernatural to bring that word to pass, no matter how impossible it is, there is a residence of God's presence and power in every word.
Yes.
Because this is the word of life.
Absolutely.
You said, the words I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. So what I started doing, Rob, when I discovered about binding and loosening here, I didn't worry about what people thought. People tell me, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, I just kind of didn't want to hang around with people like that.
Yeah.
I remember a guy was with me in the Philippines, and he's a great guy, and he's still friends of the church and friends of mine. He has since moved.
Yeah.
But he came to me the first time we was in a miracle crusade in the Philippines, and he said, Pastor, you can't swallow a goiter. A goiter is not in the throat. He said, so you can't swallow it. I said, look, this conversation is over.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know how it happens. I just know that I just believe God told me to have them swallow it, and it would disappear. So that's their act of faith. Okay. Now, I don't know how it gets from the outer part and gets into the throat and then is swallowed in the stomach, and how it's dispersed in weight. I don't know, and I don't care.
Yeah.
But I told him, I said, just don't tell me no more.
Yeah.
I don't want to doubt.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I do.
Yeah.
And I'm still doing that today, and goiters are disappearing, and people are being set free.
Yeah.
So I just asked him, I said, please, don't, no more. This conversation is over if we're going to talk about what shouldn't be.
Well, how does spit and mud recreate an eye, right?
Boy, is that the truth?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We don't know, but it worked.
Yeah, how does sending a word, you know, go and find thy servant healed?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah.
You know, how fast does a word travel? you know, so I thank God that he did, and we traveled together for years, and he's still a friend.
Amen.
But I discovered this, and I started using this. Mm. And I use this every day, just use it every day. And what I would do, and we're going to talk more about the gifts here in just a moment, but what I would do, Rob, I would do every day, God, I loose the working of miracles.
Mm.
I loose the gift of faith. I loose the gifts of healing. I loose the word of knowledge.
Yeah.
I loose the discerning of spirits. I loose the word of wisdom. I loose prophecy. I loose tongues, diverse kinds of tongues. I loose interpretations of those tongues. And I would loose them every day.
Every day.
Every day. And, you know, if I can use my faith to loose my oxen every day to water it, then I can loose the gifts every day to bring life to them.
Yeah.
And so I started seeing that, and I started loosening that.
Yeah.
Now I know some people say, well, you know, you don't have to. You don't. Well, I understand, but I'm just telling you that the Bible told me whatsoever I loose would be loose.
Yeah.
Whatever I bound would be bound.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And so I just took it. Well, yeah, but there's a, well, I, you know what? Look, I'm not a great theologian. I'm just a simple man that has been born again, that believes God, that is the disciple of Christ, that is doing the works that Jesus did. That's all that I am, and I'm telling you how to activate those things.
Amen.
Now, you want to be a theologian? Be a theologian. You want to be without power? Be without power.
Yeah.
You know, be what you want to be. But don't say that God doesn't want to do something because you refuse to simply open the doors or loose God to do what he wants to do in our lives.
And trust the written word.
Yes. I started using these, Rob. And, you know, when God came to me on a birthday, on one of my birthdays, and he said, you know, I'm anointing you for tumors and growths. And so I took that and I loosed that every day. That is something God gave me. When God gave me an anointing for canes, crutches, wheelchairs, for spinal diseases and accidents and things, I started, you know what? I loose that anointing for, you know, wheelchairs and crutches and canes and walkers.
Yeah.
And so I started loosening those things
instead
of just thinking about them and most of the time never mentioning them or talking about them to anybody because people think you're weird just because you're being what you're supposed to be from the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And so I started loosening them, Rob, and I started seeing God start loosening and manifesting these gifts
things that you were
in
speaking.
My life.
Yeah. How long of a distance was it from?
Well,
from
the time that I began to seek God, I just made a decision that I was going to pray from 5:30 in the morning up to 11:30 every day.
Yeah.
I made that decision.
Yeah.
And what I would do is I would maybe spend time loosening the gifts.
Yeah.
I would spend time declaring, God, I want to thank you. These things are in my life.
Amen.
You say, well, how could you say that? Well, because I just loosed them.
Yeah.
So I believe that when I loosed them, that I could confess them and they were doing what I loosed them to do. And so then I would spend days, weeks fasting for these things to be manifest and loosed in my life. And so after about 18 months, I was just walking through my office on a basic, typical day. The walls didn't shatter, fire didn't fall.
Yeah.
But as I walked by, Jesus came walking through a bookshelf. And I really don't care if you believe that Jesus does that today or not. I really don't care. But what I do care is I'm happy that you weren't in my office.
Yeah.
But Jesus came in and he said, this day I'm positioning you in the realm of miracles. And he put a robe on my back, and a crown on my head, and a ring on my finger.
Amen.
And so, then it went away. And I thought, wow, boy, that was kind of neat. And then, as if he knew what was going to happen, here come this same voice that said, you can believe this and act on it, or you can treat it like something that never happened.
Mm.
And so I decided, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And so I set up a crusade in the Philippines, and that was the really the breakthrough that started me on what I have done for all these years.
Now, Pastor, had you offered any gift of healing prior to this and seen people
every
healed?
Once in a while, Rob, it would be, you know, far extreme to see something happen. Because we sometimes seek to do miracles just by faith, which I understand that because of John, James, the 5th chapter, and Mark, the 16th chapter. But when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, there is something that is beyond man.
Absolutely.
Sometimes people, when I'm praying for them, I had a man one time, he had his leg about 5 or 6 inches short, and I said, sit down here, sir, let me pray for you. There were about 6,000-7,000 people in the building. This big Zoom camera came over my shoulder and looking at it, and he said, well, I don't believe this. And I said, that's okay, I do.
Yeah.
See, when the gifts of the Spirit go in motion, they may be there for either for a sovereign purpose of God,
mm-hmm.
They may be there in order for God to give birth to faith in God himself, or they may be there to in response of somebody's faith.
Yeah.
So there's like three areas that they respond to.
Yeah.
And, you know, like when Paul went to 1 Corinthians,
yeah.
1 Corinthians 2, 4 down through 6 says, look, yeah. when I came and didn't have enticing words,
that's right.
did these people in Corinth have faith?
Yeah.
No.
They didn't
because
even have faith
Paul, said, Paul said, look, I yeah. came with signs and wonders and yeah. gifts of the Spirit in power and demonstration that your faith
yeah.
would be in God and not in Amen. The wisdom of a man.
Yeah.
So did they have faith? No, they were heathens.
Yeah, they didn't know what faith was.
They were at right.
yeah.
And so did Paul do it based on their faith? Well, you're going to be healed by your faith. No, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And so Paul demonstrated it, and out of the demonstration, here they are faithless.
Yeah.
Because wicked and unreasonable men don't have faith.
No, they don't.
So here you have these wicked men, not born again, idol worshipers.
Yeah.
And then Paul comes. He preaches, and he demonstrates the power and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and that's where faith is ignited, by what they see, not by what they're hearing.
Yeah.
And so, boom, did it have to do with their faith? No.
Yeah.
No. How could you ask a person that is dead, hey,
yeah.
do you have faith this is going
to
happen?
Yeah.
According to your faith, be thou made alive.
Yeah.
There is no faith. There's no spirit. There's no soul there.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, it's gone. But
yeah.
we raise the dead because God directs us to.
Yes.
And that means that God has excluded
absolutely
every other yeah. person.
Yeah.
This is you and him. Hmm. I tell people that I've had people come up here and pray for this deaf person. And their first words are, Heavenly Father, I asked you, and I say, no, no, don't do that. No,
yeah.
no, this,
yeah.
you are casting out devils. You're not talking
yeah.
to God. And sure enough, they come right back. And they say, oh, God, in the name of Jesus,
yeah.
please cast
yeah.
it. No, no, no. I said, look,
authority.
Deafness is not between God and the devil. Deafness is between you and the devil.
Mm, that's good.
And so when we are laying hands on the sick and or operating in the gifts, one thing we have to understand, Rob, is, again, it's either because God is giving birth to faith,
yeah.
or it is a response to God's faith,
yeah.
or it is a sovereign act of God.
Absolutely.
But those three bases are the reason that the gifts function.
Yeah.
Sometimes people say, oh, I can't believe that. I mean, I have people tell me, oh, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I say, you believe it's going to happen? Well, I hope it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is that? That's all the faith they have is hope.
Yeah.
And so I just say, well, praise God. You know what? God's going to do what God has decreed he's going to do. And I'll tell you right now, it doesn't matter if you believe or not, this
yeah.
is going to happen.
Yeah.
And people would say, oh, you can't say that. Oh, yeah, yes, we can.
Absolutely.
Because Paul
yeah.
did that.
Yeah.
There were many skeptics in 1
right.
Corinthians.
Yeah.
And they were all opposed to Paul's gospel
yeah.
until they saw the signs and wonders. Once they saw the signs and wonders,
faith
emerged.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know,
absolutely.
It's very similar in how people get saved by preaching the gospel, just like raising the dead. We're raising the dead spiritually.
Yes.
They may
right.
not be faith present there or an activated faith or anything. They're pagans or heathens. But as soon as you preach the gospel, it is the power of God into salvation.
Yes.
There's, you know, and especially with demonstrations and signs and wonders like in Corinth. But there's a power released, you know, from the preacher or from the
yeah.
person sharing the gospel, that when that happens, something will emerge in them, and all of a sudden it'll click, and they'll, I believe.
Absolutely.
Right? I believe. It. Their faith will come alive because of the release of the gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus sent the 12 disciples forward, he said, you know, and he says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Yeah.
He sends them forth and says, look, I'm giving you power.
Yeah.
And I want you to lay hands on the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, and raise the dead.
Yeah.
Now, demon-possessed people that are really possessed, they ain't got faith.
No, there's no faith there.
Yeah, they may be saved or they may not be saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't have faith. They can't activate it. And then those that are being raised from the dead, certainly don't have faith. The people are dead.
Yeah.
Dead. And then you look at lepers.
Yeah.
Would a leper have faith? Well, yeah, they may have faith, but they may not. We don't know.
Yeah.
And the sick, it doesn't say that they're going to be saved or unsaved.
No.
So the saved people have faith, but the unsaved don't.
Don't, absolutely.
And so these, really, the gifts of the Spirit, when those things go into motion, Rob, sometimes it's based on the response to their faith.
Yeah.
Other times it's just a sovereign thing that God is doing. And another time it is because God is placing faith in.
And he's bringing faith to it. The
man at the Cage of the Gathering, Jesus didn't say, well, you know, I hope you got faith, man, because I'm here for just a while. And if you got faith, God's going to heal you. No, he cast the devil out.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with that maniac that was possessed with a demon.
Yeah.
And so we have to be careful that we don't throw everything in just a bowl.
Yes, exactly.
And say, here you go, eat it.
Yeah.
You know, my wife, when she's fixing a salad, do you want any kale? Kale, what is kale? Kale is rubbery wannabe lettuce. telling you, it always got all these nutrients. It's not worth the chewing to get to them. And so I say, no, I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want this. Everything is not to her liking or her to taste, but it's then going to end up a salad.
Yeah.
And God doesn't fix everybody's life the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think that it's important that we understand that when these gifts go into motion, yes, sometimes it's going to be a response to their faith.
Yeah.
Other times, it's a sovereign move of God to infuse faith. And so we just don't know, but we do know that when the gift of God goes into motion, Rob, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God void? Absolutely not.
That's right.
And so when God gives you a word or a gift goes into operation, listen, forget what man wants or what he doesn't want.
Yeah.
This is between God that has touched you and you moving into the realm of the supernatural.
Absolutely. As I prayed for a lady last night, when I laid hands on her, she didn't have any faith for healing. She was going to the hospital, was bemoaning her situation, and I said, well, I believe God can heal you right now.
Yes.
And I said, can I pray for you? She goes, I guess it won't hurt.
There you go. Yeah.
So I knew there wasn't much faith coming from
right.
her.
Yeah.
You know, laid hands on her. I felt the anointing, the virtue leaving, going into her. And she felt strengthened and invigorated and God just touched her. And, it wasn't her faith. You know, it was.
You're right. It was, absolutely.
I believe that God can do it, and he will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Lazarus have faith?
Yeah.
Well, no, he did.
Stone cold dead. Yeah.
He couldn't even keep himself from rotting. He was just about to stink.
Yeah.
And that miracle of being raised from the dead reversed every cell of corruption in that body.
That's right. Yeah.
And did Mary have faith? No, not until if thou had been here.
Yeah.
Did Martha have faith? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that in the end, he shall be raised.
Yeah.
But nobody had faith for the now miracle.
For the immediate, absolutely.
Jesus had faith for the now miracle, and he says, God, I thank you that thou hast heard me.
Yeah.
In other words, he petitioned, God said, now go and raise him. So it didn't matter what anybody
else. It's very important what you just said, because that's how generally people are. Just what you said. I know God can do it.
Yeah.
You know, or he could have done it, or
right.
You know, one day.
I know someday he's going to do it.
Yeah, one day we'll all be healed when we're in heaven.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it goes to show. But we need people to get a hold of the keys now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so this key is probably that and fasting.
Yeah.
Prayer, really, all of these things that I've talked about are essential.
Yeah.
Or what I would give credit to of these things being active in my life.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't replace one. You couldn't do away with one.
Yeah.
But I will say that I am constantly releasing the gifts of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
Going down the road, I release the gifts of the Holy Ghost in my life. And these things are essential to the gifts being active. Now, remember that we're using our faith for the things that God has given to us. just like any promise. And then we are using our faith in order to connect with the faith of God in order to activate the gifts. Remember, there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. That is the fruits of the human spirit, not the fruits of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost, he doesn't need fruit.
Yeah.
He is given witness or evidence by other things. But the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the Holy Ghost is really not mentioned. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is compared to the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
So it's talking about man.
Yeah.
And so, and out of those, out of that, those 9 fruits, they all grow out of faith, out of our individual faith. And then the gifts of the Spirit, which are 9, they function out of the faith of God.
Yeah.
We would say, oh, well, you know, I could just do this. Well, I understand, but if you could raise the dead, then just go have at it.
Yeah.
But see, you can have, you can raise the dead when God says, raise that dead.
Yeah.
And when God says, raise that dead, there are gifts that are accompanying you in order for that to be accomplished.
Yeah.
And when God says, go raise that dead, there has been an infusion of faith that you ordinarily do not operate out of.
Absolutely.
And in other words, Jesus walked on the water one time.
Yeah.
He didn't just stroll out and catch fish the next day because he could walk on water. Peter's never recorded that he walked on water after that. And I've heard people say, boy, he's got enough faith, man. It wouldn't surprise me. He'd walk on water. Yeah. If he doesn't get a hold of the faith of God,
that's it. Yeah.
Then he's never going to walk on water.
I just read where a pastor in Africa drowned in front of his congregation because he said he could walk on water. And it was just in the paper. Yeah.
Just crazy.
And drowned in front of his congregation.
Yeah. Sure was a faith booster. You say, well, at least he died in faith. No, he died in stupidity.
Yeah, that was sad.
Because he never understood the things of faith.
Yeah.
So I remember years ago there was a couple of guys that said, you know, they were going to raise the dead on television.
Yeah.
So they rented this half-hour slot, and of course you already know the end of the story. You've already said in your mind and seen it. You guessed right. Hallelujah. They fasted. They did what they could, and guess what? The guy was still dead.
Yeah.
And so nothing happened. Why? Because God never told them to do that.
Yeah.
What they did was they convinced themselves that, oh, we're going to do this. Well, and I understand we need to have confident faith, Rob, but we cannot allow our own spirit or our own desire to invoke us or to think that we've heard from God when we haven't.
Well, Pastor, last week, as you were teaching on praying for the gift of interpretation, but asking the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit coming alongside us and interceding for the will of God.
Yes.
So when we're prayed up in the Spirit and our faith is activated, we're joined not to some fantasy or imagination, but to the actual will of God.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? And he'll make it known
There you go.
Yeah.
I like that he will make it known.
Yeah.
We never try to work ourselves up
to
miracles. We never try to work ourselves up to healing or anything like that. Because the Bible says in James 1:19-20, I think, says that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
That word wrath simply means the emotional activity of a human being, whether good or whether evil, whether their intentions are, I'm going to do this because you've worked yourself up, or you're going to do evil or recompense somebody that's done you wrong. Either way, that activity born out of your emotions does not work the righteous deeds of God. And so you can stir yourself up, but we need to make sure that we hear from God.
Yeah.
So that when we do hear from God, that we're like, remember Paul in, I think it's Acts 20:21, he is headed to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Now the Bible says that he has been bound by the Holy Ghost, but he runs into some disciples.
Yeah.
And it says, and they say to him through the Spirit. Hmm. In other words, they say to him through the gifts.
Yeah.
The gift of prophecy, gift of tongues, and interpretation of tongues, they say to him, don't go up to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But Paul says, look, you can't turn me. I have been bound.
Yeah.
In other words, God spoke a word to Paul, and Paul became a prisoner of that
word.
So gifts can be misused, especially the vocal gifts.
Yeah,
the verbal vocal gifts are readily misused by people, probably, we're going to say, good-meaning people. That we'll say it that way.
Yeah.
But they are used to accomplish what they think the will of God is.
Absolutely.
And you cannot abort what God has said to somebody else because you don't think it's right.
I'm sure Agabus, when he was prophesying to Paul there, believed that that he was trying to prevent him from danger.
And what's he telling him? You know, you got this girdle. You go up there, buddy. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Paul says, I know. Jesus showed me that. tribulation awaits me at Jerusalem.
That's
but
right.
None of these things alter me or concern me or are going to turn me away. None of these things move me. Yeah. But those things, we have to understand that they can be mimicked.
Yeah.
And so we have to stand steadfast because they tried to deter Paul.
Yeah.
But they tried to enter into a place that they did not hold, number one, the office of a prophet.
Yeah.
Number two, they tried to use the simple gifts that are not the gifts of the prophet, but the gifts of every believer in vocal, prophecy, tongues, or interpretation of tongues. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And he tried to misuse them to overthrow what God had already established.
Yeah.
We cannot do those things because it's not what we think. It's what they have been surrendered to say, this is what God said.
Yeah.
And so we could not become the companion of making someone walk in unbelief.
Well, you know, I think of Paul telling Timothy, you know, later on, he says, you know, wage a good warfare. Wage a warfare according to the prophecies made over you.
Yeah.
And, you know, prophetic, and which was the will of God for his
life.
There
you go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Those were the offices.
Yeah.
There were prophets there because Paul was there and he was a prophet. But even a presbytery probably was used in the vocal gifts.
Absolutely.
But they confirmed what the prophet was saying or confirmed what God was saying or confirmed what the gift that Timothy had
and his,
was going to accomplish.
Yeah.
And so they lined up with that. But they didn't try to manipulate him or get him separated from that.
Absolutely. And I think Paul was admonishing Timothy, you know, remember those, keep, you know, don't let anyone deter you. So even if other prophecies come or words of, you know, knowledge or something or whatever that they, that they, in good intention, you know, could deter him. Paul was undeterred. He was not going to be moved from the will
Absolutely.
Of God. Yeah.
He had this great thing that I like about Paul is that he heard from God, and if he didn't hear from God, he just wasn't about to do it.
Yeah.
But when he did hear from God, he was bound by whatever God said, and he stood by what God said at all costs, even the risk of his own life, as in the storm in Acts the 27th chapter. So tomorrow we are going to get into some real foundational things that are going to help you know that you know, and move in faith in the gifts.
Amen.
So tomorrow, join us. I mean, I'm sorry, not tomorrow. It's Thursday.
Thursday.
And so join us Thursday at 9 o'clock. You're going to be blessed. Listen, let us pray for you. God, we decree and bless that, God, you are stirring their hearts. You're making them hungry and thirsty. God, they are gleaming things from the field and from the teaching that, God, that will make them better, men and women, and people that are used of God by the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We loose right now, God, the Holy Ghost to be active in their lives in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you for
it.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
We'll see you Thursday morning.